Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
But I wax nostalgic on Lincoln's birthday. Every Lincoln's birthday reminds me of my old girlfriend back in Nebraska, Gina Statutory. Name is Gina Statutory, and she went to Lincoln High, and she was voted Miss Lincoln because every guy in school took a shot at her in the balcony.
It's Dave Player back with you on 720 WGN. So Monday, May 22nd marks the 25th anniversary of the final episode of The Tonight Show starring Johnny Carson. On October 1st, 1962, at 36 years old, Johnny took over The Tonight Show and reigned as the king of late night for 29 years, 7 months, and 3 weeks. Johnny Carson is nothing short of a legend. The only person ever to be granted an interview after leaving The Tonight Show is Bill Zamy. He's an author, historian, and an amazing biographer. Bill's the author of the New York Times bestselling Homage to Frank Sinatra, The Way You Wear Your Hat, and Lost in the Funhouse, The Life and Mind of Andy Kaufman. He has written for Esquire, Rolling Stone, Playboy, and Vanity Fair, and is working on a grand new book called Carson the Magnificent. And most importantly, he's a Chicago guy who really knows about Johnny Carson, and he joins us tonight. Bill Zamy, good morning.
You're the only other one, actually. You and me, we got it down. No, you know who
we might
one is? Is a gentleman named runs Antenna TV over there. And I don't even know if they're affiliated anymore with the WGN world.
Oh, we are.
Whatever.
Oh, yeah.
They are. Good. Good. Well, it's you know, Antenna TV. Every night for the last year and what is it? Almost a year and a half now.
I know.
We get Johnny again. I mean, Johnny has been missing. We've only had these little crummy compilation things, but now we're getting the whole show for the most part, with a few little caveats here or there. But this is the work of a fellow named Sean Compton.
Sean Compton, right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's the magic man. He's the he likes to challenge me in my Carson knowledge.
Is that right?
I am superior. I am vastly superior. However, he knows he knows things that happen on certain shows that would take me, you know, at least a Google search.
Wow, that's pretty cool. And it is cool, I'll tell you, Bill, to watch it like live and breathe in real time at night after 10 o'clock where it originally lived and see some of the, I mean, what it told me was he is just the master in every interview.
It's fascinating to just look at the power he exudes, and it's not an obnoxious power. It's a comforting one. He's so in charge of our psyche. And this is, you know, at the time he was in charge of our psyche, but you can kind of see why now, you know.
I mean,
you can say, sure, now we got a million choices and you can flip around and see anything, and you hit Johnny and you're going to think, well, this is going slow. And then you start realizing, wait, he's doing all this himself. Everything all the boys do today with all their, you know, drop-ins and visual, footage and things like that. Johnny didn't have footage. He held up cards. He never had any pictures in the monologue, you know, and all of the boys do now. You know, it's been going on for quite a while. And not that there's anything wrong with that. It's a different time, but it's an amazing thing to behold, the monologue itself anyway. But beyond that, just the way he interacts with people it's fascinating, you know.
But you talk about the boys, and there's been a couple iterations of late night hosts already since Johnny left. And it just shocks me when I've told people this past week what I was going to do this weekend on my show and said it was 25 years ago that he signed off. It really does seem unreal.
You know, I was in the room when that happened.
Wow.
I was able to coerce a friend of mine. Actually, a friend of mine was representing Doc Severinsen, a PR guy named Howard Bragman. And, you know, to him, I always have to, you know, throw
his name in.
But, yeah, sure. In fact, you always see Howard turn up on if something goes wrong with a celebrity, somebody goes haywire and drives into a truck or they come out or whatever. This is the guy you go to, and you see him on CNN. It's Money in the Bank, gotcha. Howard Bragman. But yeah, but back then he was a lowly celebrity publicist, among other things, and Doc was a client, and I was able to, come on the extra ticket Howard had and watch. I had never actually, now I had been in the sidelines watching Johnny do the show weeks earlier. In fact, I'd gotten access in the final weeks for Rolling Stone.
Wow.
To be able to go sort of wander around for a few days behind the scenes of the Tonight Show, which was an unheard of thing.
I bet.
And it was fascinating. And that's where I met and became friends with Jeff Sotzing, who you've had on the program.
Sure.
Now, oversees all things Carson, the empire.
Yeah.
He's the prince.
He is. He is the prince.
Yeah. Yeah, he is definitely the prince. And he's a great guy. He's been, awfully helpful to me over the years in my research. And, geez, in the time since I started this project, he's been able to digitize the entire library and have it all indexed now with transcripts that you can read along the side.
Wow, I did not know that. Wow.
And yeah, it's an astonishing research gift, and when I had started, frankly, not long after Johnny had passed away, but I was depending on the most avid fans, the kind of fans who will be up at this hour listening to this. Those are those kind of fans.
That's right. You bet.
Who do watch Antenna TV, and they are out there, boy, and I bless them all, because they found ways to start taping Johnny back before anybody had any tape.
Yeah.
I think there was a brief period where you could order for like $100 any episode you wanted. A lot of people did that for some reason or another. Usually the celebrities, who had been on also got tapes. And I think generations spun off into the world so that there are all these collectors,
I bought a few of them too. I found the ones that had Rickles on them and stuff, and I bought them for my own.
Right?
No, I bought them from whatever Jeff's website was originally of selling all this stuff.
Oh, yeah. No, oh, this is good. Yeah, but this. Oh, did you actually that far? You did it a long time ago.
Yeah,
then, huh?
Yeah, I did.
You dropped $100 here.
I did. I did. I did. Yeah. Yeah.
Look at the money this man rakes in on us.
Oh, yeah.
Night and the dead of night. You talk about your Steve Cochran in the morning or your.
We negotiate together. We negotiate together. Yeah. We're a package, man. We're a package. But I mean, you went back, though. You really looked at Johnny the Man, and that's what I love. And, here's a guy born in 1925 to Kit and Ruth Carson, grew up in Iowa, later in Nebraska. What was his relationship with his parents like?
Well, it was every bit as all American as you would imagine it to be in that era, a kid basically in the late 20s, 30s, 1930s into the 40s. But I mean, as a kid at home with mom and dad, mom was kind of a tough nut to crack. She was she was a tough club, basically.
Yeah.
Johnny sought her approval as we all do with our mothers.
Sure.
And she was just Johnny was the middle child. Mm-hmm. He had an elder sister who, in fact, only passed away, I think, in the last couple of years, and a brother is still around, Dick Carson, who's mm-hmm. in fact, he was the first director of the Tonight Show with Johnny's Tonight Show, I should say, starting in 62. But, and he looks an awful lot like, so does, by the way, Sotzing, the older he gets, he looks like
Johnny. He does look like Johnny. It's, totally true.
It's getting a little, the older he gets, the scarier it gets, really. I can't bear to look at him anymore. That's, I get too nervous.
Yeah, same thing when I saw him.
Right?
Yeah.
No, he's great. I kid because I love. in any case, Johnny, you know, his father was kind of a passive, sweet, lovely, lovely man. And mom was kind of a dynamo in her own way. And for her era, you know, and she's, formal lady in ways, but she just had a lot of style. She was an elegant lady. There's no getting around it.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. You can see Johnny sometimes talk about, you know, were you raised middle class? Or was like, I came from a middle class background. He said, no, I came from a high class background. My parents were middle class earners, you know, income wise, but high class, you know, he always made clear about that. But, you know, I had participated in something I think you saw, and I think you can still watch it online, is the American Masters.
Oh, it's fabulous. Oh, you can watch it online and you can buy it. That was one of the most comprehensive and fabulous looks at this man. And I watch it, believe it or not, I watch it a couple times a year. I love it because it's just so, I always catch something I didn't catch the first time. It's always fabulous to watch. And you were a big part of that. Yeah.
I was all over that thing. In fact, I'm the last word you hear before sis boom ba at the very end of the show.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
I say something about magic being his rosebud or something like that.
Well, speaking of magic, though, Bill, that's kind of how he got into this a little bit in entertainment. I think he was 8-10 years old when he was entertaining and he got his first magic kit and by mail order in Nebraska and started entertaining family and friends at parties. He was really digging that.
He sent away to Chicago to get it.
Yeah.
You know, that's all roads lead to the Middle West. He always he liked that about me, that I was a Chicago guy. I think it just, that's why, you know, all these other big, you know, entities were, you know, vying to, you know, say like Larry King and Barbara Walters and the Today Show, blah, blah, blah. And they're all, you know, and whatever. But, and certainly print too. But I was the only one. First of all, print's a lot easier on, you don't have to put on makeup, you know.
Yeah, right.
To do print.
Right.
But but I got to know him through Satsang and his tremendous mini staff in his retirement office out in Santa Monica. His assistant, Helen, executive assistant, I should say, Helen Sanders, perfectly wonderful woman from Holland, Michigan, and see the Midwest. He liked keeping Midwest people
around, I could tell.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, and so I met him a couple times in the office, under peculiar circumstances. The most peculiar one was actually the first time I formally met him. I had a chance back in the, I guess it was in the mid-90s. I'd been doing some things, TV things, that mm-hmm. put me for some reason when Greg Kinnear, remember Greg Kinnear was the host of Bob Costas's Later Show.
Yeah,
I was in the running for that gig, believe it or not.
Really?
Kinnear, of course, got it. Yeah, it was ridiculous that they were open to anybody doing it. Apparently, at that point, they thought, okay, a writer, okay, all right, try this.
Yeah, yeah,
but then Kinnear had to go make a movie before he is now apparently a movie star.
I haven't seen him in the movies for a while, but apparently.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. God bless. And may God bless. And Little Miss Sunshine. There you go. That was a while ago.
Yep.
So, but it was Sabrina he went off to make. And and really, at that point, NBC's Late Night, they just decided nobody cares. Let's just let anybody in. And so I came in and hosted a couple nights, which you do in one day. It was, you know, the show was a half hour long.
Right.
And so I had two guests, two separate shows. Sandra Bernhard was a guest, and And Steve Forbes, you know, there's a name that really means nothing now in our political.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
He actually was running for president at one point
he
a long
did.
Time ago. Son
yeah.
of Malcolm Forbes, the
yeah.
Forbes from the magazine.
Yeah.
That's the Forbes.
Yeah.
But Johnny's, well, one of Johnny's assistants, Susan Rubio is her name, came. She's a good friend, and she came as a friend just to come see me and do this, you know, because it was sort of ridiculous that I was doing this. But
it's cool.
And so the next day I went over to have lunch with her. We'd arranged to talk about it. So I walk into the office, and I'm waiting around, and I talk to Jeff Sotzing for a minute, and suddenly I hear the voice.
Wow.
The voice saying, I understand there's another late-night talk show host in the building.
Oh, wow. Wow. That was and, how'd that feel?
And I turn around, and there he was, and you can still see the stains in the pants I wore that day. I swear to God, it was...
I bet.
I've always said, humbled before majesty. You know, this was...
Yeah.
I said, I swear, anybody will do it. They let anybody do it now. It's not even a...
Not even a contest.
This is what it's come to. This is what it's come to. He said the greatest thing to me, he said, did you enjoy it? And, excuse me, there's my ride coming. I'll be a little later.
Good gravy.
And only Johnny Carson would ask me that question or even think yeah. to ask that question.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy it? Because the fact of the matter is, you know, there are 100 other things to ask first, you know, like how bad did it go? That would have been the first. But no, he said, did you enjoy it?
That's
and,
great.
And it taught me a lot, actually, that and of course I would go on to spend time with him along the course of a couple more years, but he was really sort of a delight in retirement. He was a
relaxed.
He was kind of a relaxed cat. Yeah,
yeah.
He was having a good time. He seemed to be having a very good time. I mean, and of course he had a boat, which is basically a ship. You
yeah,
know?
I saw it.
Enormous.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, after he passed, I was in. It was put up for sale. I was able to actually sneak onto the back of it, and the bullet wounds they healed within about a year. But still, it was such a thrill to be there.
Yeah.
To
he spent a lot of time in his last years. I mean, that's he was married to his fourth wife, Alex. But I don't know toward the end if they were as close as they were when they first met. So he spent a lot of time on the water, right?
Yeah, very much so. And I don't think it was her thrill to go out on the water all the time. And
yeah.
She's considerably younger. I think that's when the I think their differences became more apparent, as often is the case in marriage in general, much less when there's a pretty decent, what, about 25 years? I should know this, and I probably do, but I try not to know because I'm still trying to woo her
okay.
to talk to me for the book. And
oh, okay.
Therefore,
all right.
You know,
okay.
I don't know. Maybe they were not close at all. They were 40, 50 years apart.
Yeah.
All I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you what, folks, stick around. We are talking to Bill Zamy, and we are talking about the 25th anniversary of the final episode of The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. And there's more next on 720 WGN.
And so it has come to this. I am one of the lucky people in the world. I found something I always wanted to do, and I have enjoyed every single minute of it. I want to thank the gentleman who shared this stage with me for 30 years, Mr. Ed McMahon. Mr. Doc Severinsen. And you people watching, I can only tell you that it has been an honor and a privilege to come into your homes all these years and entertain you. And I hope when I find something that I want to do and I think you will like and come back that you'll be as gracious inviting me into your home as you have been. I bid you a very heartfelt good night.
Dave Player hanging out with Bill Zamy here on 720 WGN. We're celebrating the 25th anniversary of the Final Tonight Show starring Johnny Carson. We were talking about Johnny and his wife, Alex. You know, that was his fourth wife. And you said you were kind of courting her to talk about her for the book. He was married, you know, before he even started Carson Cellar and Who Do You Trust and some of those other shows in the 1950s. Is Joan still alive, by the way, his first wife?
His first wife, last I heard, she was alive. She's sort of a missing link.
Yeah.
She's had sort of a troubled life and, kind of an itinerant woman. It's a peculiar story, but I don't think she didn't really have relationships with the sons so much anymore. You know, Johnny, they had three sons together.
Right.
Her name was Joan, but she went by Jody. But the funny thing is her name was Joan. And then, of course, his next second wife was Joanne.
Yeah.
And
the third one.
Joanna.
Yeah.
Joanna was the third one. And then somewhere in between, Joan Rivers came along and broke his heart, and he married an Alex.
That's right. But, you know, you talk about his wives. Joanne.
Joan Rivers broke his heart, obviously.
A different way.
Romantically, but
yes.
for bailing out and jumping ship
and
not telling him.
Yeah.
And anyone who tries to defend that woman, including herself, from... you know, that charge, it's just incorrect, because they were so close. Sometimes you can see on antenna if Joan Rivers is a guest, how much Carson loves her.
Oh,
just he dotes on her and he feeds her and he's just delighted by her at all times. And so when she really, I mean, had every opportunity to mention this to him, well in advance, but she claims, well, she did before she told the press. It was the same day she told the press. She tried to call Johnny, and he already knew, of course, by then, and dropped the phone back on the hook and never really forgave her for that, because and that's a shame. And I don't know if that speaks well of him. I don't know, but I don't think she really tried all that hard to say, you know, I screwed up here.
I talked to Joan. I talked to Joan a couple months before she passed, and we talked a little bit about that. And she expressed, you know, remorse. And I know she has in other shows too that she never did that. But Johnny didn't trust a lot of people, and with good reason. You know, he had to keep his circle probably relatively tight, and Joan was in that circle, right? Yeah.
And look at the betrayal. Johnny found ways to, you know, bring people close to him who were very good at betraying him. And of course, the greatest example is Bombastic Bushkin, his attorney, who wrote Henry Bush Bushkin, who wrote a memoir about, you know, working for Johnny. He left out all the parts about the where the money flowed and why Johnny was kind of concerned about maybe, you know, the honesty and trust factor anymore, and let him go. But that's all left out. But anyway, the funny thing about that book is it's sort of a horrible thing to write if you're his best friend.
It is terrible.
You're his best friend and attorney. And he always likes to make fun of me when he hears, because I've been working on this book for a long time. It's sort of legendary. It's out there in Carson land. And believe me, I've had a really good reason for having lost the thread of it, especially over the last 3 or 4 years here. But it will be back, and we are going to get this thing out there. But anyway, but he mocks me as a sycophant. And I don't think I'm a sycophant. I do love Johnny Carson. But I also know, as you'll see in that, American Masters, I can kind of point out the parts where it hurts, too.
Yeah.
And then Johnny, you know, the funniest thing is when I approached him for this Esquire piece that we did do back in 2002, that was the 10th anniversary of his departure.
Yeah. Wow.
So,
And my
argument to him then was, it's only going to be 10 years once. You know, and it's oddly he sort of saw the merit in that, and also the fact that it's a lot easier to talk to a writer, you know, than to, you know,
interesting,
go on a big show,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And it was, what was especially important was this was this, you know, basically 9/11 had happened about 5 months earlier, so you know, September 11th of 2001, and so the world was completely still in. We were all in shock, you know, and we were all looking for a security blanket. And it occurred to me, we were the most important security blanket America ever had was this guy.
Yeah, it's true.
For those 30 years, in a way that nobody else could be. Not, you know, Johnny tucked you in at night. I mean,
Walter
Cronkite did not tuck you in at night. And
right.
I don't know that he would be a security blanket. So what he sort of saw what that was, you know, what I was getting at there. And it was a great time to talk to him. And
How long did you spend with him? How long did you spend with him, Bill?
Oh, well, a couple, few hours, really. Officially, you know.
Yeah.
Officially.
Yeah.
But, you know, but there was, you know, we were in touch and such. But I never did want to, you know, publishers came to me and after the Esquire piece came out then and pushed me to do the, you know, biography. And I knew that that would not please him, although he did tell me at the time he didn't give a damn, I'm using a softer word, what anybody cared or what anybody said about him anymore. You know, it didn't matter, you know, because he'd done it. And he was perfectly at home with himself and his history, I think. I feel like his personal foibles, and believe me, these are foibles that you would he would be insane if he did not have
yeah.
foibles
yeah.
to have that job. That job is so, you know, the pressure, especially then, you know, again, with three networks, you know,
yeah.
nothing else.
But I'll tell you, this was a guy, though, that, you're right, 30 years on The Tonight Show, but hosted the Oscars, you know, how many times he did that. He was the man. Everybody wanted a piece of this guy. But when he said he was done, he did some Letterman stuff. You know, he appeared on Late Show when he went to CBS. But I had saw and read and heard, and maybe it was from you, that he felt like there had been some actors back in the day, people that he admired, like the Jack Bennies and so forth. He wasn't a big fan of Bob Hope, I know, but he was always on his show. But he felt like there were some of these guys that stuck around a little too long. And maybe was that the guiding force of him saying, you know, when I'm done, I'm done.
Yeah, it was really the Bob Hope effect. And you know what's funny about that? This is a good plug for Antenna TV because I think it's coming up this week. Letterman's final appearance is the same night as Bob Hope's final appearance.
I saw it. I watched it a couple weeks ago.
Clint Eastwood as well.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me. My ride came through the window. But anyway... Windy. I'm in a wind tunnel here, it seems like because we're building up, and I do believe they're going to show the final show on Monday night.
Awesome!
So you can actually relive all. That was just the strangest thing to watch on TV, and boy, to sit in the room was even crazier.
I bet you. So you were there for that episode with Letterman, and
I was there, and it was. Just I sat there and it was so solemn, you know, you wanted to laugh and you knew it was all slipping away, and it was just actually it's next Monday they're going to air that one. I mean, that doesn't make sense. I don't know.
No, it's probably Monday.
I was just checking, but maybe you saw it already, the Hope and Clint Eastwood and Letterman.
But Hope, yeah. I was watching Hope in that. Now, Dave, you know, obviously, you know, kind of melancholy for him because, I have to admit, did you talk to Johnny about, you know, the fact that he didn't get to pick his successor? I mean, did you even talk about that?
Well, the ship had sailed at that point. What I talked to him about at that point was the Late Shift movie.
Right.
It was just being... actually, it had just come out, and I was teasing him about Rich Little playing him.
yeah.
And, he,
yeah.
And I believe he said something along the lines of, can you believe that
I love that. I love that. But watching Bob Hope is that exact reason on that show that I feel like Johnny wanted to check out and be done, because Hope was like a shell.
Told me the same thing. Letterman said exactly the same thing, because he was I had him recall his last night. And this is way back at the time. This is almost shortly thereafter when I was talking. Back when Dave talked to me a lot. And it was really, you know, he said, gee, you see that? It just seemed every great thing Bob Hope ever was, you know, in terms of a great Oscar host, and just his movies, you know, were certainly admirable, as people have discovered long before and after Woody Allen said so. But it was an embarrassment. He just was barely there. Like he didn't quite even understand it was his last time there. And it just, and he was out promoting another stupid special he had coming up, you know, some football.
Oh, it was weird.
Gridiron special.
It was bizarre.
He's knocking on 90, you know.
Yeah.
Johnny's last appearance, you know, at NBC doing a monologue was, in fact, about a year later for Bob Hope's 90th birthday. He came back and put on a tuxedo, and they had a big special, which I think you can find today without much trouble.
Yeah.
That's the last monologue. It was about Bob Hope, but at least it felt good to see him up there one more time. Because boy, it was really, when he left, it created such waves of fear almost in the country. You know, it was like, well, what are we going to do?
Yeah, you said the security blanket was gone that you had every night, regardless of what was going on in your life, whatever was going on in the world. You know, you could count on Johnny every night, right?
And I love Dave. Dave had, you know, by all
ditto,
you know, accounts, taken over in a weird way, and Johnny kind of knew that, in a sense, even though Dave didn't get the gig. But you know, what's kind of throws me is later in some of these late 80s, early 90s, before Johnny retires, but especially late 80s, and they're starting to do shtick a la Letterman, you know, on The Tonight Show. And you see it once in a while here. And boy, it's just, the fit is so long. It's like, oh, no, John, you don't have to do that. Let him do that, you know. And I think he pulled it back. I know Tom Shales wrote about that a little bit, and Johnny got PO'd.
Oh, I remember that.
You know, called him. You remember that?
Yeah. Oh, I do.
And said, you know, we all use different things, you know, from what we borrow from, you know, but it was, you know, embarrassing, though, occasionally. You know, he was, I'd say, though, his last year, after he announced he was quitting, he was top-notch. He was back, you know, he was back in charge. And he wasn't, it was never, though, he ever was not great, but he just got all the more, I don't know.
Engaged. Important. He was really
engaged.
Yeah.
He was recommitted to the show, and he was involved, and he was excited about it, even as it was slipping away from him for all time.
When you were a kid watching the show, and I think we're about the same age, when you were a kid and you'd look in the TV guide and see who was on, and I never could, you know, I was, you know, that was way past my bedtime in a lot of cases, and it was one of those moments you hear about that truly happened to me too, is I'd stick around the corner and, you know, my dad didn't know I was standing there, but I was watching Carson with some of my favorite comedians, and I loved it when Dave Letterman was on in the 70s when he was doing stand-up or when he was filling in. I loved Rickles. I loved when the old school guys, or the Sinatras, or the Dean Martins, Angie Dickinson. I knew how cool that was when she was on there, because Johnny would just flirt like a madman with this woman. You know,
they had a thing. They did have a thing. They literally did have a thing, but not. But it was in between their marriages. It was not anything untoward, and it was just, I think, silly. She talked about it with me a bit, but that was always great TV. Diane Cannon was another one.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
You see the flirtation there.
Lonnie Anderson.
Lonnie Anderson later on. Sally Field, the subs, you know, and she's later now in recent years talked about dating him for the first time, which
wow.
was which I was always surprised because he seemed so close to Burt Reynolds, and this is post Burt Reynolds. And Sally Field, she said she Johnny was very you know, amorous. He put the moves on with great style. So she said she felt like a little tadpole in the hands of an octopus or
yeah.
something. But what a cool octopus.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's funny. You know what I love? In the realm of women, you know, Johnny, it was great to see the ones who would keep him on his toes. And the one who really did a great job was Suzanne Pleshette. So
oh.
anytime you see her,
okay. I'll look for
always
that.
Always worth it. Yes, always. They had an understanding. She was one of the boys to him, and he was able to just be himself. And they knew each other off camera quite well, you know, and spent time there. The two couples,
yeah.
Johnny and his third wife, and Suzanne Pleshette, and her. Well, she was married to a guy. Well, anyway, she later married Tom Poston
right.
after I think the other fellow passed away.
Yeah. Yeah,
but again, only people who listen to this show would know or care about that.
That's true. I think that's true. So Johnny, you know, when the afternoon you found out he passed away, I mean, that must have just punched you in the gut, because it did for me, and I think millions of Americans. Just you talk about the security blanket that went away when he got off the show, but then when you heard he passed, it was like, oh, wow.
You know, it was like, no, you got to be kidding. And it was really a denial thing at first. But I was getting called to go, because I was, you know, when I did the Esquire piece, that forced me out to do an awful lot of other media to talk about being the guy who Johnny sat with, you know, and talked to, and let me profile him. And so I had done, you know, the Today Show and, you know, I don't even know what. O'Reilly, don't ask. Who knew?
Yeah,
he seemed
wow.
to respect Johnny. But but when he died, it was crazy. It was like he died. It was a Sunday. And so all the news gathering, you know, they were all gearing up for Monday. And at the same time, I had to do whatever could be done for the day itself. But really, the next day, Monday, I was all over the place again.
Jeez. I bet. And I think Letterman.
And that's a surreal thing. It doesn't make sense. When I say that, it sounds like I'm proud that I was out on all these shows. It's not that. It's just like, that's the last thing you feel like doing when you lose somebody that important to you, is
yeah.
to go out and have to talk about what he meant to everyone. And then I realized, well, I've had the privilege of paying really close attention to him in a way other people don't. You know,
right.
I've studied him. I've written
yeah.
about him. He's
yeah.
been a subject. This is somebody I've, you know, had to try and crawl inside of as best one can. And that would only get more so in these years hence. But so it was sort of my responsibility to go out there and just say what could be said. And you know, it's just you add to a chorus of voices on days like that. It is kind of those days when a celebrity passes. They're the strange days on television anymore, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. That's what I felt like when Rickles passed away, you know, a couple
oh,
of months
yeah.
ago, same way. 25 years from now, or I mean, we're on the 25th anniversary of the last Tonight Show starring Johnny Carson. 25 years from now, what would you
yes,
say Johnny's...
25 years from now, I will finish the book. I promise.
That was my question.
Oh, wait. Oh, you had a different... Oh, okay.
No,
right,
what
okay,
what do right. you think, you know, we're talking generations later of him being off the air. I mean, where is his legacy going to be 25 years from now, Bill?
Well, I just hope... I think, you know, every new generation comes along and likes to look over his shoulder a couple decades back at a time. And, you know, and sometimes they'll look back a couple decades back and see what they were interested in. And they were interested in something retro at that point. And it's like, I think this... he, you know, I've always said he's never going to have the same, unfortunately, and it's unfair, the same chance to have the same legacy as, say, Sinatra, because Sinatra is music, and it's and mm-hmm. this is television, and it was of the moment, at the time. Now it's fascinating to watch.
Do not
be turned off by the fact that you know you're going to hear Watergate jokes. I mean, come on, how great is that?
It is great.
I mean, learn about your country here. This is like the best history lesson you could possibly get.
Totally true.
You're learning about all these presidential administrations as filtered to you the way it was filtered to America through Carson, and he always had a handle on it and what they were all doing. He went first. But he did something that the guys nowadays, I guess it's just, it'd be impossible. I would love to see Johnny Carson walk, down the middle, of Trump and see if he can survive that.
You always think about that, right? Yeah, think about that. When things happen in pop culture, what would he be saying? What would his monologue be about, right?
I mean, I was worried enough that he had that there was a Carson running for president at the same time, who happened to be an African-American strange alien from another planet. And how weird that would have been. But Trump, you can see Johnny actually do Trump jokes. Johnny, Trump was, making himself known back in the 80s. He was. He was always finding a way to hog publicity. So Johnny actually owned an apartment in Trump Tower.
Elf did not know that. Mm. Interesting.
In the last part of his life, Trump went out of his way to talk about what a bad tenant he was because he was always complaining. But it's like, hey, if you're in Trump Tower and you're complaining, that's a bad tenant. I think that's somebody who's paying attention.
Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you, the amazing Bill Zamy. Bill, I've always, again, wanted to chat with you on the air. Thank you for making that happen. Thank you for taking the time tonight. I love your work and what you do. Big fan, man.
Hey, same goes for you. I love you. I am one of your people. I am one of these people.
I'm a
Dave Flyer person. And I'm under 60. Come on.
You are. Thank you, Ben. I appreciate it, buddy.
Thank you, sir.
All right. News is coming up next on 720 WGN.